do ask that you pray for us what time we stand before you. I have thought a lot this week about the subject of prayer. We talked about it at some length this morning, and I have in mind this evening to, Lord be our helper, finish what will be the last of our efforts in our series on the armor of God found in Ephesians 6. In Ephesians 6, as we've gone through each of these pieces, there is one noticeable place on the body that Paul, to this point, has not addressed. He's addressed the head, he's addressed the chest, the feet, the loins, he's addressed the things that the arms carry, but he has not yet addressed any portion of armor that covers the legs. And the last thing that he mentions gives us the idea and the manner in which we go about in our life in a way in which our legs are protected. If you go to Ephesians 6 in verse 18, Paul says this. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Paul here, as he closes his thought on the armor of God, he gives us the idea in which our legs are protected. It's through prayer. It's through watching. It's through supplication. And I don't want to go through all the points that I made this morning about prayer, but I would like to expand on them somewhat, because Paul here gives us what may be the most important thing for a soldier. As you study warfare, and however you study it in history, whatever the manner was of fighting, there is one thing that every soldier prizes whenever he goes to battle, and that is having a superior position. If he has a superior position, his likelihood of winning is far greater. In the olden days, if you had the high ground, there was a good chance that you were going to win the day because people had to go uphill to meet you. Now, as we as soldiers of the cross go out to battle in life, our position that we occupy is very important. Now, it's important that we have our head with a helmet of salvation, a breastplate of righteousness, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. It's important that we carry the shield of faith. It's important that we wield the sword of the Spirit. But, brethren, our position in this world is very important. Paul says that our position is found in prayer. Notice how he uses language here. As we mentioned this morning in Philippians 4, prayer is something that is done all the time. Here he says praying always. He doesn't say praying sometimes. He says praying always and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. As Paul makes this very clear, prayer is something that has to be engaged in all the time. As he says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. The position of our warfare in this life must always be geared in prayer. Now, as the soldier goes down on his knees to pray, as his legs are covered, when he bows down in prayer, it might seem from a natural standpoint that he's taken an inferior position. Because most of the time, if someone's not upright and ready to move to and fro, they're not able to fight as they should. Brethren, I'll tell you this, our best method and manner of fighting is on our knees. On our knees, praying to God to be with us and to bless us. Because I'll tell you, God with you when you're praying on your knees beats not having God with you when you're standing upright. If I'm standing upright all by myself, I'm going to fall in a hurry. But if I'm on my knees praying to God and God is with me, I'll stand and be able to withstand all that Satan throws at me. Now notice again, and I realize I'm probably laboring this point till you're sick of it, but prayer is something that requires all of our being all the time. Our Lord said in Mark chapter 4, I believe, He says, the first and greatest commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. I don't think that leaves anything out. And Paul says that that is to be done all the time in prayer. You say, what's the point? The point is every fiber of our being is devoted and engaged in prayer throughout our life. As we mentioned this morning, you may not be able to bend down on your knees literally all the time, but the state of our mind and heart needs to be prayerful all the time. You know what God's house is called? God's house is not called the house of singing, although there is singing there. It's not called the house of preaching, although there is preaching there when the preacher's blessed and he may or may not have a nice time. But friends, the Bible says that God's house is the house of prayer. Because everything we do here in God's house should revolve around prayer. Praying before we get here, praying when we get here, praying for the singing, praying for the preaching, praying that the Lord will be with us in all the things that we do. When I think about the aspect of prayer requiring all of our being, you know who I actually think about? It's an unusual character. I actually think about the devil. Now, hear me out. I was talking to Brother Gary on the phone this morning, and we were lamenting the fact that the devil always seems to be after us. He never seems to give up. He never seems to quit. He never seems to ever give you a moment's rest. If he can find an area to get in, he tries to get in and distract you. But you know, the more I think about the devil's position, you know he's already lost. You know he already knows he's lost. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 12, he knoweth that he hath but a short time. The devil knows that he's lost. Yet even though he knows he's lost, even though he knows he's on the losing end of the campaign, he never quits. Everything in him, he is doing all that he can to disrupt and bring ruin and destruction to the life of a child of God. Friends, we're not on the losing team. We're on the winning team. And all of our energy and all that we are should be devoted in service to God, because we know, Satan knows he has but a short time, but we know that we are the sons of God. John says we know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. We know, friends, from what the Word of God teaches us, that one day we're going to live in heaven with Him. We know from what the Scripture says that God will never leave us nor forsake us. And friends, being on the winning team, we're in the better position. So when we go out to battle, we need to occupy the better position in prayer, because we know that we are in God's family. We know that we are in God's hand. And friends, being in God's hand beats being anywhere else. So pray always with all supplication, with all watching thereunto, with all perseverance. Now, having said that, I know a lot of you are just waiting for me to address that P word that is found in that verse, and I do intend to address it. This is the one and only time that that word perseverance is found in the Bible. Now, I need to spend just a few moments, I hope and trust, talking about what perseverance ain't, and then showing you, I hope and trust, what it is. Perseverance ain't what proves that you're a child of God so that you are somehow accepted with God. Perseverance is an exhortation for things for us to do here in this world. Perseverance is not something that every child of God will without fail engage in. Perseverance is something that every child of God should attempt to engage in while he lives here in this life. There are a lot of children of God who right now are not living lives as they should. There are a lot of times I'm not living my life as I should. But the point of this is to show us what the goal is, how we should be. Now, if you look up the word perseverance, if you look up what any trustworthy dictionary has to say about it, you're going to find a very different definition than you a lot of times hear promoted in the theological world. A lot of times in the theological world, they talk about perseverance as coming to a certain thing. Perseverance is not coming to a certain thing, it's staying in a certain thing. Whenever I persevere in something, I am not getting into it, I'm staying in it. Now, friends, there is just one of two things that can be going on. Either I'm persevering or I'm not. There is no middle ground. There is no gray area. Kind of like with prayer. Either I am in a mode of prayer or I'm not. There is no middle ground. So when Paul says, watching thereunto with all perseverance, he's saying when it comes to prayer, praying always, stay in it. Don't depart from it. Because friends, if I ever leave something, I'm not persevering in it. To persevere in it means that I stay in it all the time. And the goal is that I should stay in prayer all the time. Perseverance has nothing to do with whether I'm going to heaven or not. But perseverance has a lot to do with whether I'm a good soldier of the cross or not. And friends, our Lord demands and He deserves that we are good soldiers of the cross all the time. Now, having said all of that, He also says to not just watch with all perseverance, He says, but with supplications as well. As we mentioned this morning, a supplication is a legal term. It's when you actually make a plea as if someone was to make a plea in a court of law. And friends, whenever we pray to God, we are praying to one who is not only our judge, but He's our Father, He is our elder brother, He is one who loves us and one who cares for us, and He hears our prayers every single time. So, the soldier has something about his head, he has something about his chest, he has something about his loins, he has something on his feet, he carries a sword and a shield, and he has his knees bended in prayer all the time. And Paul says, if you take the whole armor of God, if you take all of this, he says, as we mentioned at the very outset of this series, he says, having done all to stand, wherewith ye may be able to overcome all these things. Go back to the very beginning of this in Ephesians chapter 6, because there is one more point that I'm sure everybody's waiting for me to make. In Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 11, Paul says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Whereunto take unto you all the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Paul makes it very clear that if we do all of these things, we'll be able to take whatever comes our way. Whether it comes from Satan or whether it comes from his influence in this world, we shall be able to stand here in this world. Whenever I don't stand as I should, it's because I haven't taken this armor as I should and fastened it upon me as I go out to war in this line. Now, the last piece of this discussion is actually not found in Ephesians 6. Because there are probably some of you who've already had the thought, well, my head's covered, my chest is covered, my loins are covered, my feet are covered, my legs are covered, and I have something in both arms. What about if someone comes up behind me? You know, armies in the past have been susceptible to being outflanked and had an enemy come up behind them. But friends, in our warfare in life, you don't have to worry about that. You don't have to worry about being outflanked. You don't have to worry about the enemy sneaking up behind you in this sense. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 52. And this is where we'll spend the rest of our thoughts this evening. In Isaiah 52, and this same point is found in many places, here's what the prophet writes. He says, starting in verse 11, he gives us an exhortation to warfare. Isaiah 52:11, he says, depart ye, go ye out from thence. Touch no unclean thing. Go ye out of the midst of her, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. For ye shall go out with haste. Ye shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight. For the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rearward. Now that word rearward actually looks like rearward, but it actually means that God stands behind us and He protects our back. He protects our rear. So friends, the only way that our rear parts or our back parts are exposed is if we turn our backs to the battle and our back is facing the enemy. Now I'm going to say this with all the charity, as little as is that I have, but all the candor that you know I have plenty of. When it comes to Christian warfare, Christ has called us to be soldiers, not sissies. Because friends, in this battle of life, I can promise you this, it will be hard. It'll be hard every single day. Every single day that you wake up, you have a battle. You have a battle in your mind, you have a battle in your heart, you have a battle with Satan out there, you have a battle with things that you would just rather not have to deal with. But friends, the last thing we need to do is to turn our back to the battle. Because friends, the only way our back is protected is with God as our rearward as we advance and go forward in battle. And friends, you're not going out by yourself. When you go forward, you're not going forward alone. I'll tell you, it's great to be in the house of God. It's great to be surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. But friends, it's even better to know that the Lord has gone out before us. It's wonderful to know that the battles that we fight every single day is not what the war is hinged upon. You know, we don't fight battles to figure out whether we're going to win the war. Friends, the war has already been won because our captain has gone out before us and he won the war victoriously. The battles that I fight will not affect the outcome of eternity at all. But friends, it'll affect the outcome of today and tomorrow a lot. Friends, when you go out to battle, remember that Christ has already been there. He's gone out before you. He's experienced all the things that you could possibly experience. He's overcome them as a good soldier. He's been tempted in all points like as you are, and He overcame every single one of them perfectly. And when it came time for that final battle that He fought against sin, against depravity, against the devil himself, He fought and He won. And friends, it wasn't even close. You know, I get sick and tired of hearing people talk about how God and the devil are somehow wrestling, how they're wrestling in this cosmic tag team match to see where the souls of all eternity are going to go. Friends, Jesus Christ got the souls that He wanted, and He got the souls that He loved, and He got the souls that His blood paid for, and friends, He won't lose one of them. When it came to that battle, when it came to that war, it is 1.5 million over here for God, and it is 0 over here for Satan. Satan didn't get anybody. Because friends, I'll tell you this. The ones who will one day go to hell that Christ does not love, that Christ did not die for, they're not Satan's. Because you know what? Satan's going to be there suffering just like they are. They're all going to be burning together. Friends, Satan doesn't rule over hell. God does. God rules over everything. But I'll tell you this. When you go out to battle, you remember that God has gone out before you. God has gone out. God has triumphed, and friends, God still goes out with us today. You don't have to worry if people in this world let you down. And friends, if I haven't let you down already, I will. I'm not saying that because I'm planning to, but I will do that because I am a weak and frail mortal. If I don't do anything else, one day I will let you down when I die. One day I won't be there to help you anymore when I die. But I'll let you down probably before I die. Friends, you have one who stands by you in battle who will never let you down. That's why you don't have to go out in haste. That's why you don't have to go by flight. Friends, when it comes to this battle, He says, they shall not go out in haste. You heard the old expression that the fastest don't always win the race. That's actually Bible, by the way. You've heard the expression that the strongest don't always win. That's Bible, by the way. You've heard sometimes, and I realize this is dangerous tonight to bring out a sports analogy, but here it comes. You've heard announcers say sometimes the best team didn't win that day. That a lesser team played above their level and they beat a superior team. You know, all that's Bible. Solomon says in, I believe it's Ecclesiastes 7 and 11, he says, the race is not always to the swift. He said, the battle is not always to the strong. He said, but time and chance happeneth to them all. You know, sometimes the fastest don't win. Sometimes the strongest don't win. Sometimes situations and circumstances just come up in which you didn't really see it coming, but there it was. But you know what, friends? Our battle that we fight daily is not measured about how fast we're able to go. It's not measured about how strong we are. And friends, I do want you to be strong in the Lord and strong in the power of His might. But don't worry about getting in a hurry. Because friends, I'll tell you, the battle is not gone out to in haste. They shall not go out in haste, Isaiah writes. You don't have to be in a hurry about it. Friends, be right about it rather than being in a hurry about it. As I used to see all the time in college, generally the first person to turn in the test wasn't the one who did the best. He was just the fastest one who wanted to get out of there. Friends, trying to just hurry up and get through the things of life is generally not the right course. As we mentioned this morning, sometimes you have to be patient. Sometimes you have to wait upon the Lord. And friends, waiting upon the Lord is not done just sitting there twiddling the thumbs. Waiting upon the Lord is being on bended knee in prayer, praying always with all perseverance, with all supplication to God that He would be with us so that we would know the right way to go. And He says, they shall not go by flight either. Friends, this is not a battle in which retreat is an option. Friends, I realize the Bible talks about things like fleeing fornication. I realize it talks about things like fleeing youthful lust. But that type of fleeing is not turning your back on the battle and running away. That type of fleeing is putting the shield of faith over your eyes so that you're not tempted by those things. The battle is not about turning your back on Satan and running away and letting his darts hit you in the back as you run. The battle is about putting the shield up and taking the sword and saying, "Get thee behind me, Satan," as it is written, and having all the other pieces fastened about you. Friends, we should never turn tail and run to the temptations of life. We should rather uphold and promote our Lord Jesus Christ and what He has said, and say that come whatever may in this world, we will live by the precepts of this book, because our Lord in heaven deserves all of our effort every single day that we live. Friends, do not go out in haste. Do not go by flight, because the Lord your God, He goes out before thee, and He will also be your rearward. And friends, I'll tell you this, I have turned my back on the battle of life so many times. I felt the arrows of Satan hitting me in my back as I have turned tail and run. And I've been a coward in the things of this world and not stood up for the things that are right as I should. But friends, I'll tell you this, when the Lord is your rearward, I'll promise you this, nothing will ever sneak up behind you and snatch you out of the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because the battle that He went out, He fought, and He won, He's going to see it through all the way. Friends, whenever He holds you in His hand, whenever He holds you there by His love, even though I have failed Him, even though I have let Him down, I'll tell you this, everything that you could possibly do will never snatch you away from His hand that He holds you in. Friends, I've felt the arrows of Satan. I've felt the fiery darts as they've bitten me in my life. But friends, I'll tell you this, nothing that has ever come upon me or will come upon me will ever take me from His hand. Because He is our rearward, not just daily in this life, but also finally, eternally, in all things. I love the expression that Paul uses in Romans 8 and verses 38 and 39. He says, "For I am persuaded." Paul says, "I am completely convinced of this." He said, "Nobody needs to try to talk me out of this. I know this to be true." He says, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Friends, what in that list, what in this world does not fit in that list? Everything fits in that list. That includes Satan, because he's a creature. And that includes me, because I'm a creature as well. And friends, no creature can keep me from Him. No creature can take me from Him, because He is my rearward. He stands behind me. He holds me in His hand. And friends, because of that, I will live with Him, and so will you, and all the other of the family of God. What does knowing that do for you today? What does knowing that do for you tomorrow? What does knowing that do for you every single day that you see coming up? Friends, I don't know what you've had going on this week. I don't know what you've had probably going on all today. Except maybe having to listen to long-winded preaching. I don't know what else you've had going on today. I don't know what you've got coming up tomorrow. But friends, no matter what comes up tomorrow or the next day or the next day, remember this. Nothing changes where you stand with God. Knowing that you're on the winning team, knowing that you'll never fall out of God's grace, knowing that no matter what happens in this life, you'll always be His. Peter says, "What manner of persons ought we to be in all holy conversation and godliness?" How much time have you invested in prayer this week? How much time have I invested in prayer this week? I'd be ashamed for you to know how little the time is. And friends, the list should say 100%. All of my time should be spent in prayer. All of my time should be spent in the right position in this world to go out to battle. Because friends, I'm sometimes caught out of position. I'm sometimes caught with my back to the enemy. But friends, nothing has ever snuck up on God. Nothing has ever taken Jesus Christ by surprise. Nothing is ever going to take Him by surprise that one day He's going to tell us, "You know what? I loved you. I died for you. I shed my blood for you, but you were worse than I thought you were going to be. You're never going to hear God say that. You're never going to hear Jesus Christ say, I really tried, but you were horrible. You're never going to hear that. Because, friends, everything that I have ever done that needed to be amended before God, He took care of it. And the reason He could take care of it is because He can see all that's going to happen. That's what's so painful. That's what's so painful when I mess up. Because even though He didn't make me do it, He knew it was coming. And He already took care of it. When I think about that, that He's already seen what I'm going to do, and He's already taken care of it. Friends, if that doesn't make you want to pray and thank God for all of His benefits, there's nothing else I can tell you that will. Because friends, He stands with you all the time, knowing what you're going to do all the time. You've heard of stories of people who did something and their closest companion said, I want nothing more to do with you. I remember a time when I was a little boy. If this is too personal, I do ask that you forgive me. It's the best way I know to make this point. My mother's brother married my father's sister. And I have double first cousins in this world. And when I was 9 years old, they got a divorce. And you can imagine what that did to my family, because it affected both sides of my family. And I still remember the day we were living in California when my aunt called my father and basically demanded of him that he take her side, that he stand by her, even though I would say that most of the marriage disintegration was her fault. And what she was really asking him to do was take her side and oppose my very own mother, his wife. And he told her, he said, Kathy, I think you're wrong, and I'm not going to do something that's going to divide my family the way you have divided yours. And she said, I want nothing more to do with you. You had your chance to stand with me, and you didn't. And she didn't talk to my dad for a long time. It was about 8 years later when their father, my grandfather, passed away. She finally talked to him at the funeral. And friends, she did all that because it was really her fault, but she blamed my father for. Friends, everything you've ever done against God is your fault. And He doesn't hold you to blame for it. He held His Son to blame for it. His Son died where I should have died, for all the things that I should have died for. And friends, if that be true, and the Bible says that it is, what is going to keep you from Him? Nothing. Because He's taken care of all of it. And friends, even today, He knows what we've done today against Him. He knows where I'll be tomorrow against Him. And yet He's still there. He still stands behind me. He still goes out before me. And friends, He's a friend in all times, in all seasons, in spite of all that I am, in spite of all that I do. Do you want to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ? Remember the soldier that He was for you. And may that strengthen your service to Him. May the Lord bless you, is my prayer.